Let's do it.
That's what I always say, I know. It's like the brand.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Thursday, 5 October. Good to have you along.
Yes, and today we're going to be listening back to some audio from some of the big news stories of the week. We've got a few of them lined up already, and don't forget, you can send in yours as well. Let's get to the first one.
All we're asking for is for what we are, what is the basic necessities of our hospital. Care for us, care for our patient, not outsourcing our jobs to other companies or other agencies. Actually invest in the community, invest in the staff that we have now currently. That's why we're here in full and drive, showing that we care more about it than the company.
You know, it strikes me that could be played for so many different moments.
I literally was saying, could be the UAW, you know.
Could be. Could have been the writers that would be outsourced to AI.
Sure.
But in this case, it was Reginald Villanueva, who works in inpatient medical transport. He was speaking with Fox 5 San Diego from the Kaiser Permanente strikes. This is the biggest healthcare strike ever, right? It's the workers are in there. 75,000 people.
Yeah.
The workers are in the second day of their three-day strike today. Hospitals and emergency rooms are open, but some non-emergency functions, like certain surgeries and some apparently chemotherapy treatments, have been rescheduled. And yeah, I mean, it's been a tough time to be a healthcare worker in this country over the last 5 years, for sure.
Yeah, it totally has. And, you know, so the hospitals are filling in with more expensive backup crews, right? People that they're importing from other cities. It's just another step in the labor, like, year, 18 months. I was going to say labor summer, but that's overused. It's been like a year, 18 months that labor's been really on the rise. And it's coming to a head this summer. Anyway.
You know, it's interesting because for so long, the sort of burgeoning renaissance, I guess I should say, of the labor movement had been like very small scale, like in individual offices and in smaller groups. You were seeing a lot of organizing of, you know, I'm remembering some of the Microsoft subsidiaries or Activision subsidiaries, like in the gaming industry, where like these individual shops were starting to organize. But now like these much bigger unions are making really sweeping demands to change the dynamic.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And look, they're having some success. Look at the writers. Look at the writers.
Right. The writers. Yeah. And, you know, the UAW seems to be making progress in the direction they want to go.
Right. Right. For sure. All right. Next piece of tape.
Look, folks, people have to take a deep breath, okay? Technology's always replaced jobs. Your children can live to 100 and not have cancer because of technology. And literally, they'll probably be working 3.5 days a week. So technology's done unbelievable things for mankind. But, you know, planes crash, pharmaceuticals get misused. There are negatives. This one, the biggest negative, in my view, is AI being used by bad people to do bad things.
So that's Jamie Dimon, the CEO and chairman of the board at J.P. Morgan Chase, talking on Bloomberg TV, obviously about AI. When I heard this quote, I glommed onto that 3.5 days a week thing, and it made me think of, this is going to make me sound like a total history dork, a John Maynard Keynes essay from like the 1920s or 30s, where he basically said, we're going to work 10 hours a week. I know it does. I'm sorry. Everybody's
it's okay.
got their own.
We love you anyway.
John Maynard Keynes, in a really famous essay, said, we're going to have so much time, we're not going to know what to do with ourselves. We're only going to be working 10 or 15 hours a week within 100 years. And we're almost at that 100-year mark, if not actually past it already from that essay. And look, there's a push for a four-day week from the UAW. There's pushes for a four-day week in white-collar work. And, you know, eventually that could happen. And I think Jamie Dimon is right on that part, that 3.5 days a week is not out of the question, thanks in part to AI. Look, AI is going to do some things, and people are going to lose jobs and all of that. But it's coming anyway, you know, it's coming.
It is. I find it interesting, though, that throughout human history, with every efficiency, we have found something else to do to fill our time. even mm-hmm. if it's invent new things and new technology, even if it's to explore or learn new things that just expand us as human creatures. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I guess I get the fear, but my optimism still overrides it, I think, still mm-hmm. at this point.
That's fair.
Yeah.
No, I buy that, and I sign on to that. I think it's great that we find ways to not just fill our time, but fill our time productively, right? That's
yeah.
the key part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or rest also.
Or rest, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. All right, here's the next piece of tape.
Hi, I'm Jay Powell. I'm the chair of the Federal Reserve, and I want you to know that the Federal Reserve is now on Instagram and Threads. The Fed is America's central bank, working to promote a healthy economy and a strong financial system. That mission starts with you. October is National Economic Education Month, and throughout the month and beyond, we'll be posting here with information, links to events, and other resources about how Fed decisions affect you, your family, and your community.
Yeah,
you know
Jay Powell.
About that.
So, go ahead. What? I've got some thoughts. I'm going to do this one and you're going to do the next one. But what are your thoughts? What's great about that?
Just the one thing I was going to say is that I didn't know that October was Economic Education Month.
Totally. Me neither.
Which is hilarious given what we do for a living. Okay, go ahead.
Right. And you know, who was it who set the game? We did a story actually about those random days that, you know, get decided and the months that get decided. Anyway, so that was Jay Powell, chairman of the board of the Federal Reserve Bank of the United States. On Threads now and Instagram, and the funny part, you couldn't see it on audio, but so it's Powell standing in a conference room, no tie, a little disheveled, hair's messed up, looks nothing like nothing more than just some grandfather who's like kids are shooting a camera at him and saying, "Grandpa, talk into the phone." It was really funny. It was really, really funny. But, you know, more power to him. More power to him, because lots of people are on Threads and Insta. Anyway, so it's at Federal Reserve Board, by the way, if you're looking for their Insta. You can get them there.
Yeah, I wonder if the content will be reposted on TikTok, given that government offices and officials are not allowed to use TikTok in an official capacity. But that's where the audience that they actually want is.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. The younger kids. Anyway. All right, last one. Here we go.
We dress a certain way, we walk a certain way.
So that clip comes from the trailer for Renaissance, a film by Beyoncé. So interesting, and I'm excited to see this because I did not get to go to the concert, much to my chagrin. But
wait, seriously?
Yeah,
you didn't get to go.
I had another very expensive outlay this summer, and hard choices had to be made. Hard choices had to be made, and I may regret it for the rest of my life, but such is life. Anyway, I will at least get to see the film, which documents the production of the Beyoncé's, Renaissance World Tour, and it will be in theaters December the 1st, which I was listening to your interview with the theater owner today, she was talking about films that she thought were going to be in her theater this fall, now getting pushed to next year. So I imagine people like that will be very grateful to have the Beyoncé film, and I imagine the Taylor Swift film is going to be coming out soon as well, to bring people in there. Thankfully, to the producers, some actual numbers and data. Beyoncé's 56-stop tour brought $579 million in, as far as we know, and has generated an estimated $4.5 billion for the American economy, which is about as much as the 2008 Olympics did for Beijing. That is according to the New York Times. Yeah. And I know I've sort of alluded to this several times, but I'll just say it out loud directly, which it's been pretty discouraging watching the disparity in which the two tours of Taylor Swift and Beyoncé have been covered, especially when it comes to sort of like economic impact and how they were framed. And I know that Taylor Swift's tour was first, but just the language around it and the attention to it was different, when it seems as if the actual impact and actual relevance were quite similar. And maybe it's just because I'm more of a fan of one than the other. I don't have a problem with Taylor Swift. I like her music. But, you know, I noticed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and it's a good thing you pointed it out. It's a good thing you pointed it out. All right. Super quick before we go. So we have less than 360 donors to go to hit our 2,000 investor goal for this fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Here's what you might have noticed, that we're talking about numbers of donors rather than donor amount, right? Rather than straight dollars. Here's why. The trend for donations here at Marketplace has been the number of investors going down while the average gift size has been going up. Here's the deal, though. We want to broaden our participation base. We want to get more people invested in this program, even if the gift size goes down. So that's why we're doing that. That's why we're doing that. We need to be able to count on a broader base of support than just one underwriter, one advertiser, one donor, one anything. We just need a broad base of support, because that's what's going to keep us going into the future. So if you can, please do. Marketplace.org/givesmart. Today's episode of Make Me Smart was produced by Courtney Bergseeker with assistance from H. Conley. Audio engineering by Charlton Thorpe. Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter. Our interns, Neela Farshabandi.
Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcast. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.